Let's go ahead and praise him. Could we do it? Hallelujah. Come on, just praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I appreciate the spontaneity of worship. And I just am waiting for that time when it's like 100% of folks just got caught up in the Spirit and what he's doing. How many believe God's got something for everybody? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you turn to Isaiah 43? I want to continue the theme we've been on since Watch Night service. Aren't you thankful for encouragers? I preached this morning, and I really did think this is funny. It's why I'm sharing it. But I preached about, you know, how many times we've heard Amazing Grace, how many times you've heard me preach, and I shared the math. And one person said to me after service, he said, your math was wrong. When you talked about all those thousands of times people heard you preach, you forgot to take off the times that they were asleep. That's encouraging. Amen. I'm just glad I make people feel comfortable. I want to share another challenge with us tonight. I just want to see the Lord do something great in 2015. And I know we need help with struggles and problems, but I'd just like to see a harvest of souls in this year. You know, watch this evening, and I'm glad they do, but as some parents brought somebody or their children to church, and they don't come to church, and I thought, you know, this ought not to be. Those parents need to be saved this year. We need to be praying that way. Amen. I believe God wants to send a harvest. Hallelujah. And, you know, sometimes when we hear about, you know, what needs to be done, we start thinking in terms of our resources and what we need to do. And there are some things we need to do. But, you know, the things that need to be done, he needs to do them. We just need to let him. Amen. Invite him. Believe him to do those things. Can you say amen? Isaiah 43, if you'd stand, I'm just going to read one verse. The Lord speaking through the prophet, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many like to take that promise into the new year with you? I didn't say, I'm going to do a new thing. God said, I will do a new thing. There is some historical context to this promise. We'll look at it briefly as we minister tonight. But I want to preach tonight, and I put the title this way in quotes. I will do a new thing. God. That's a quote from God. Amen. I believe in giving credit to folks when they say something. And it was God that said, I will do a new thing. How many could personalize that right now as God saying that to you, to your life, your family, your church? Could you just personalize it for a moment? God's talking to you saying, I will do a new thing. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Spirit in the service. God, I pray that you would use your word to challenge our hearts afresh and anew. God, move in my life tonight. Lord, that challenge could come forth of what you want to do in the lives and the hearts of your people. Lord, we need something from heaven. We need something that is undeniably sent from you. And I pray, oh God, that our hearts would just be thrilled and challenged by what you have promised. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Since my humor is so dry, it's also a handicap that I'm such a bad joke teller. And I would never even attempt to tell a joke if I didn't want to make a point with it. But I remember many years ago hearing this, and it's just my kind of humor, but in college, a student was given an assignment, a project, to do research on longevity, why people live so long. And so he got his notepad, and he went out to the park, and he began to look for older folk. And he saw a park bench. Isn't it funny how that older folk is so relative. How many remember when you were a teenager and you thought somebody 35 was ancient? Brad, are they ancient anymore? 35, is it ancient? It's because you're 31 or something. 33, it's not ancient anymore. So anyway, this college student, he went out with his pad of paper and got to the park, and he saw three elderly men sitting on a park bench. And he said, "Excuse me, fellas." He said, I'm doing this for school. He said, "Could I ask you some questions?" I said, "Oh, sure." So he said to the first man, he said, "You know, I can tell you're well along in years. What do you contribute your longevity to?" And the man said, "Oh, that's easy." He said, "I believe in living moral." He said, "I never drank, I never smoked, I never caroused around. I just have lived morally." And the college student writes all that down. And he asked him, and he said, "And how old are you?" He said, "I'm 92. 92, he said, "Great." Got to the second man. He said, "Well, what do you contribute your advanced age to?" And he said, "Well, to me, that's easy. It's health." He said, "I've exercised consistently. I've eaten the right things. I've watched all of my diet." And the college student wrote that down. He said, "How old are you?" He said, "Well, I'm 89. So he wrote that down. And he said to the third man there, he said, "And you, what do you contribute your longevity to?" And the man looked up at him and said, "Oh, I don't agree with these other two." He said, "I've never been moral. I drink, I smoke, and that exercise stuff, I don't believe in that. I eat what I want to. I never exercise." College student wrote down, and he said, "And how old are you?" He said, "I'm 25. The point I want to make with that, the truth is, sin ages. I have seen that in my extended family. I have seen those in my extended family that at 40, they looked 65. Because of the lifestyle they had chosen. Sin makes you old. Not just physically, mentally, spiritually. But it's not just sin that ages. Heartache ages. Amen? Struggles and pains and trials. I'll tell you something else I'm really encouraging tonight. You're going to have to stick with me here, but sickness will age you. Amen. Hard knocks, they'll age you. You know, our society acts like belief in God, belief in Jesus, belief in the Bible. They act like that's old, old stuff. That's antiquated. That's primitive. That's something out of fashion. I'll tell you what's old. Sin is old. It's the same old lies. It's the same old deception. It's the same old destruction. But I just want to tell you, everything about sin and Satan and ungodliness in this world and the problems, not directly from sin, but indirectly, the diseases, the sickness, the heartaches, the hard places, they really have an effect on us. How many knows that bad things get old really fast? And good things get old slowly. But all things get old. You can have a certain food item that you think is the most wonderful thing in the world, and you just eat it every day. It's a good thing. But even good things get old. Relationships get old. Songs get old. I'm sorry. I like the message, but I don't want to hear another Christmas carol right now. I'm through. Anyone feel like that? Gets old. Things get old. And I know I'm taking a little time, but that is a truth. But the reason I'm preaching on this is because I believe there's something, knowing that, there's something in our hearts that is crying out for something new. Do you feel it? Do you hear it? Do you have it? Something crying out for something new. You see, in the world that we're in, it's the same old sin. It's the same old guilt. It's the same old temptations. It's the same old battles. Those things never change. But that's only half the story. Because with the same old all of that, there is new help. There is new healing. There is new hope. There is new strength. There is new encouragement. There is new power. There's a new outlook. There's a new perspective. I'm telling you, God's got something new for every old. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we may have received encouragement 1,000 times since we began to walk with God, but we need new encouragement. We might have had our hearts assured 1,000 times, but we need new assurance. We might have been strengthened with the moving of the Spirit hundreds of times, but we need new strength. How many's ever been blessed? How many needs a new blessing? Amen. There is that which makes old, but there is that which makes new. Amen. You know, I realized something tonight in so much of my preaching. Nothing I say to help or encourage believers will help you if you don't have it in your heart to serve God. I can say everything in the book that would be encouraging and strengthening, but if you don't have it in your heart to serve God, it won't help you. You see, there are those who are not hungry for something new. They still think they're going to find it in that old out there. There are those who are not yet tired of the old, but I guarantee you, you will be. But if you are hungry for a new experience, you are hungry for a new encounter, you are desirous of a new blessing, a new vision, a new burden, a new beginning. I believe if you would listen, you would hear God say tonight to you, I will do a new thing, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I know we got all that old, but He has promised the new. I want you to notice He said, I will do it. For myself, I'm unable to do it. You are unable to do it. I'm unable to do it for you. Man can't do it. But we're talking about God. He can do a new thing in the same old environment, in the same old place. Amen. Struggling with the same old problems and the same old difficulties. And in the midst of it all, there is a God who is able to do in your heart, your life, your mind, your soul. He's able to do a new thing. Hallelujah. Oh, could I tell you one more time? Amen. According to this book, God makes all things new. I want to talk about what the new thing was when God said it in Isaiah. Just a little bit of historical context. I want to tell you, first of all, the new thing He was talking about was restoration to the place that His people should be. You see, some of this in Isaiah is in reference to things that's already happened to the northern tribes of Israel. Some of it is prophetic to what's about to happen to the southern tribes, which were Judah. And you see, by the Assyrians, the northern tribes were taken into captivity about 721 before Christ. And the rest of the tribes is about 120 years later when they were taken into captivity. And so some of it is historical in Isaiah and other is prophetic. But see, here's what happened. The Israelites, and I'm just going to generalize, the Israelites, because of their sin, their adopting of the ways of the nations around them, the Israelites have been uprooted out of Palestine. They've been taken hundreds of miles from their homeland to a foreign land and placed in captivity. They don't know the language. They don't have houses. They don't have fields. They're too far to escape and go back home. And if they went back home, their fields have been burned. Their houses houses have been torn down. Their temple has been destroyed. They're in an awful place. And that would get old in a hurry. Captivity would get old in a hurry. Being in a foreign place would be old in a hurry. You see, then when God said, I will do a new thing to this people, this conquered people, what he was saying, if you look at the context, he was saying the new thing is, I'm going to restore you to your place. I'm going to restore you to your country. I'm going to restore you to your fields and your home and have your temple rebuilt. Amen. Now, I want us to think about this, because God calls that a new thing. He said, you're in bondage. You're in captivity. You're away from your homeland. And I'm going to set you free from your captives and take you back to your homeland. And he calls it a new thing. Why am I stressing that? Because this is Israel, and God has already done that before. Now it's Babylon. But God's already done that before. How many remembers another time in your scripture when the children of Israel were not in their homeland? They left their homeland. They're in Egypt. They're slaves. They're in captivity. And God has to deliver them from Egypt to take them to their place, the homeland. So why is God calling it a new thing to release them and deliver them from their captives and to take them home when he's done that before? Well, I'll tell you why it's a new thing. It's because it's a different bondage at a different time for a different generation. Yes, God has delivered his people from bondage before and taken them back to their place, but this is a new generation. This is a new problem. This is a new crisis. This is a new enemy. And I'm telling you, the new thing is, God said, I'm going to take you back to your place where you need to be. The new thing was actually an old thing. He had done it before. For, but not for them. He had delivered before, but not for that generation. He had shown his power before, but not for that group of Israelites. Amen. It reminds me of a song that we hear sung sometime. And it's a song that God will do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. That's what God was saying. He said, I'm not going to do something novel. I'm not going to do something odd and weird. I'm not going to do something from a different country. I'm going to do something I've done before, but it's going to be new to you. You've never been delivered. You've never been set free. You've never taken that trip back to the homeland. I'm telling you, when we ask God to do a new thing, when he says he's going to do a new thing, we're not asking for something novel. We're not asking for something odd. We're just saying, oh God, what you have done, do it again. It's been a long time, God. I know you sent revival to mom and dad, but oh God, do it for us. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. The new thing, God will never do what's not in the book, but he'll do what's in the book in a new way, for a new time, for a new generation, for a new crisis, for a new difficulty, for a new battle. He'll do what he's always done. He'll do it anew and afresh. You see, the problem is, this scripture I'm using tonight, this promise, when God said, I'll do a new thing, you look, you listen, and churches today that are departing from the truth use this quote to justify false doctrine. I've seen it used to justify same-sex marriage. I've seen it, heard it used to, I'm talking about by clergy and laity of churches. They use this scripture to justify sin by saying God said he'd do a new thing. But when God said he was doing a new thing, he wasn't talking about something outside the boundaries of this book. He wasn't talking about something that went against everything he said. He wasn't talking about doing something novel just for the sake of novelty. He was talking about something that was fresh and current. And when we say do a new thing, we're saying do it for this generation. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You see, some, they read up in this chapter 43, and God said, don't remember the former things. And yet what God is going to do, he's done before. But here's the thing. What it's saying is, don't get stuck in thinking that it's all former. It's all just something I've done for somebody else at another time. because I'll do it, and it'll be new for you. You can experience. Even the new thing was that the Israelites had got off track. They had messed up. They were suffering for their mistakes, and their children were suffering with them. Amen. But I want to tell you, the new thing was that God said, even though you're way over here in Babylon, you're not near where you could be, should be, ought to be. The new thing is, I'm taking you back. I'm setting you free. It may be hundreds of miles away, but the new thing is, I'm taking you home. I'm going to put you in the place that you ought to be, that's yours rightfully. Hallelujah. How many like God to do that? Just take you back to the place where you knew the power of God, the freedom of God. You were delivered from sin. I mean, he'll take you to that place. I've talked to several people, and this is not pointed at anyone, but sometimes folks, you know, they get in, they're gloriously saved and delivered and set free, and then Satan gets to working on them, and they begin to doubt the things of God. They begin to have confusion and fear, and you know, things are preached on from the Word, but some voice from the world says, you know that's not right, and so they're full of confusion and doubt, and how should I live, and what's right and wrong. And I've always encouraged them, when you get in that place, don't try to answer the questions about these things, how we ought to live, what we ought to do. Don't try to answer them in the moment of confusion and fear, but do you remember that place at the altar when your heart was soft and you felt the presence and the glory of God, and the Word of God was like a living thing in you? How did you feel about those things then? What did you think about the world then? How did things look then? Remember that place? Wasn't it clear then how we should live? What we should do? Was it clear at that place? I'm telling you, the new thing is, God will take us back to that place. He'll make it new all over again. He'll make His power new. He'll make His deliverance new. He'll make the way new. Hallelujah. He's about making it new, restoring us to the place. I'm telling you tonight, the new thing is, God will take you back to the place of freedom and victory and make it new to you all over again. Secondly, the new thing God was speaking of was a renewal of the promise. God had promised Abraham and the children of Israel subsequently. He had promised them they would be His people. He had promised them a land. He had promised that He would bless them and make them a blessing. And here in Isaiah, they'd blown it. They had messed up. They're not living like the people of God. They're living worse than the enemies of the people of God. Not only in sin, but in bondage. They had blown it. It's like the promise is through. Like they're no longer His people. But you know, I'm not going to take time. I'm just going to read two verses. If you'd read Isaiah 43, to these people that had messed up, get this, these people who had got off track, God begins to renew His promise to them. Look at this. Look at this. Just a few things He said to them. He said, I love you. He says that in this chapter. He said, I have redeemed you. He said, you are my people. He said, I still have plans for you. Let me just capsulize it in the first two verses of 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Now remember, He's talking to folks that have blown it. They've messed up. They've broken His laws. They've went against His commandments. And He says, I have formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh, what is the new thing? God is renewing His promise. He said, you got off track, you blew it, but you're still my people, and my promise still applies. Are you glad God's like that? We do blow it. We do mess up. But I'm telling you, the new thing God's going to do, He's going to say, I'm renewing my promise. I didn't forget it. You did. I mean, I didn't get off track. You did. But I want you to know, however you've got off track, I'll do a new thing. I'll let you know my promise is still in force. I've still redeemed you. I have still loved you. I still have plans for you. And you're going to go through something, but I'll be with you. That's my promise. The fire will not be kindled against you. The waters will not encompass over you. I'm telling you, the new thing is to realize the promise of God is renewed to the people of God. Amen. Just one more thing. The new thing was the replenishing of the positive. You see, when the children of Israel got taken from their homeland, they're in captivity. That's not a good place to be in. And let me just read it, a little bit, a glimpse we have from the Psalms. We know that all the Psalms weren't written by David. This was written from somebody during this time of captivity. And said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion home. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, and they required of us of a song. In other words, they knew those Israelites could sing and play musicians, and they said, come on, play us a song, sing for us. They're too sad. They're grieved. Their hearts are pained. Nothing's turned out right. They're in a foreign land, and they hang their harps on the willow, and never had life looked so dismal and dark and depressing. Some folks have been there. How did the people of God end up to a place that their outlook looks so bleak? They have so much negativity in their hearts and so little positive outlook that they hang their harps up and said, we just won't sing again. When God said he would do a new thing, he was saying, I'm going to put the song back in your heart. I'm going to take out the negative outlook and give you a positive outlook. The future looks bleak to you right now, but I'm going to do a new thing. And all of a sudden, it's going to look bright and it's going to look positive, and you're going to hope again, and your heart's going to thrill again, and you're going to be excited about living for me again. The new thing is he's going to replenish the positive. They are drained. They are sapped. There's nothing but negative that remains. They've lost joy. They've lost rejoicing. So much had happened to them. All they could do is weep. But then in Isaiah 49, God says, I'll do a new thing. Listen to what he says. And it shall spring forth, and ye shall know it. And I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What's it trying to say to the Israelites? Babylon was a desert land. No reason to rejoice. Everything was dead to them. Their old life was dead. Their hope was dead. Many of their family was dead. But God said it may be a desert, but it's going to spring forth. That's talking about like what we see right now from wintertime. All these branches and bushes, they're brown, they're dead looking, but what's going to happen in a few months? They're going to spring forth. They're going to bud. The green's going to start to show. God says, your heart feels like those old barren branches, but I'm going to do a new thing. All you see is darkness and ugliness, but I'm going to do a new thing. All of a sudden, you're going to feel in your heart a green, hallelujah, leaf spring forth, and then a bud spring forth, and then a flower spring forth. And you say, this is an awful place. It's nothing but desert, but all of a sudden you're going to see a river, a refreshing running river coming out. Oh, hallelujah. Read on a few more chapters, another chapter, and he said, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty. I'll tell you what the new thing is. You've been drained. You've been sapped. There's nothing left but hollowness and darkness and negativity. Oh, but he said, I'll do a new thing. I'm going to put the green back in it. I'm going to put the running water back in your soul. I'm going to refresh you. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Oh, they learned that there. I said they learned that there. They were at the bottom. They couldn't sing, but there came a day. It's time to go home. God is restoring. God, they take those harps from off the willows and they strike the chords. Amen, and begin to sing. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus swept across the broken strings. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's going to do a new thing? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'm about done. And these are just illustrations. I'm not aiming at anything, but someone asked, how is it being in your 50s? And I say, well, I want to tell the truth. I really don't feel old until it gets to be about 8 o'clock at night. And then I start to feel it. But I want to tell you something. I think everyone my age and older would vouch for in this place. When God begins to move by His Spirit, when you get in the presence of God, nobody ever feels old in the presence of God. How many would agree with me? When God's presence gets to move, you don't feel old in mind. You don't feel old in emotions. You don't feel old in body in the presence of God. Nobody's old in the presence of God. You want proof of it? Wait till you get to heaven. You'll discover nobody's old in the presence. Why? Because He's the God that makes all things new. I know a lot of things get old. Amen. Did you know even serving God can get old? Not if we keep our hearts just right where they need to be, but we can get old. Amen. You know, I've used this again, this is just an illustration to illustrate a point, but our choir, I would put them up against any church choir anywhere. And I know folks responded tonight, but we hear them twice a week singing their hearts out, and pretty soon it's just our choir again. And somebody comes in from the outside and they're going, hallelujah. I mean, Handel's your choir director, right? Not real close to it. And people just, but things get old to us, don't they? Amen. That's why you take your spouse for granted. I'm going to leave that alone. Leave that right there. Things get old to you. That's why we need Him to do a new thing in our hearts. Your faith can get to feeling old, but He can renew it. Oh, hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How many like a new thing to happen in your heart? I've got to finish. I told you I would, but I want to tell you, new life never goes with old living. Did you hear me? New life never goes with, it's never compatible with old living. I'm telling you, that's why when you get new life, you won't live the old way. I'm usually a one cup coffee drinker. Let me share some wisdom with you, though. When you, in your coffee cup, when you get to the bottom with nothing but the dregs left, you don't need a new mug. You need a refill. See, Satan begins to convince you, you need a new mug. You need a new spouse. You need a new place. You need a new this. You need a new that. No, you don't need a new mug. You need a refill. Let me close with some scriptures. Music, would you come? Remember Acts 2:4, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. One of the effects of that was verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, and he preaches this sermon. Now, I don't think Peter had even time for it to leak out. But it's interesting. Now, no doubt about it. We just read it. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he stood up and he preached. Just days later, you know when he and John healed by the power of the name of Jesus, healed the lame man at the gate, beautiful, and the crowd came running together. And they're about to get in trouble with the authorities, the Jewish authorities, and they're going to be cast into prison. Look at chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, Acts 2:4, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Here it is, chapter 4, he's filled. I don't think it leaked out in those few days. What I think is it was a new day, a new crisis, a new enemy he was facing, a new audience, a new situation, and God gave him a new feeling for what he was newly facing. We've had feelings of the Holy Spirit before. We've had God move. In 2015, I believe God wants to give us a new feeling for the new year, for the new crises. Amen. How many's ready for Him to do a new thing? Hallelujah. Have you noticed how we're always anticipating the new restaurant in town? I mean, they can only do so many things with food. I mean, you put whatever ethnic name, you can only do so much with food. But we're always anticipating the new restaurant. I remember when we first came to Damon's, that was the place to go. Are there any open? Friendly's. Are there any open? I'm not doing commercials, I promise you. But you notice that we're always, but there's only so much you can do with food. And people get that way spiritually, you know, they're wanting to change restaurants and this. And, oh, we don't need that. We just need something fresh from the kitchen. Oh, hallelujah. We need something fresh from heaven. How many wants the Lord to do a new thing in your life? Would you stand all across the building and just, let's be honest with him. Just lift up your heart and hand and say, God, I need a new thing in my life. Just be honest with him. I tried to share the challenge, but just say, Lord, listen, he said it. I didn't say it. Listen to him. Is he saying it to you tonight? I will do a new thing. Oh, God, would you just desperately cry to God and say, God, I need that new thing. I need new strength. I need new power. I need new joy. I need something new. Come on, let's just be honest right now. Some of you are honest. You say, I'm so tired of this old feeling that I'm feeling. I'm tired of this old way of looking at things. I want the fresh. I want the new. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Would you come and begin to feel the front? Just stand tonight. Come and feel the front. Lift up your hands and heart and say, Lord, do a new thing in me right now. It's a new year. It's a new year. Lord, do a new thing in me. I'm not asking for something novel. I'm not asking for something off the wall. I'm asking, Lord, what you've always done. Do it fresh for me. Lord, I want the feeling of the Holy Spirit. You did that old time. You did that for the apostle. But give, apostles, but give me a new feeling. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Lord, do a new thing in my heart. Do a new thing in my mind. Do a new thing in my life. Do a new thing in my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Lord, do a new thing. Oh, there's so much. There's so much that wears on us. There's so much that makes us old. There's so much that saps us, that drains us. Lord, do a new thing. Lord, by your power. Oh, God, I can't do it. Lord, you can do it. Oh, Lord, I can't do it. You can do it. Do a new thing.
The good old days where the Spirit was poured out. A mighty move of God with signs and wonders by his power. But I can live on memories of yesterday. So Lord, do a new thing.
Just welcome it tonight. Just open up your heart.
Lord,
welcome
do
it.
A new
seek
thing
it tonight.
In an old fashioned way.
Hallelujah.
Send down your Spirit upon us, we pray.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
The God we serve is still the same. He hasn't changed at all.
Oh, God, do a new
He's
thing,
looking
Lord.
For a
I can't
people
do it for him, Lord.
Who will answer
do
to
it,
his
Lord.
Call.
He can't do it for himself.
To hunger after righteousness and call
it's
on his name.
It's not my power.
To give him
it's
the
by
glory.
Your presence.
His
it's by your spirit.
To proclaim.
I don't want that of the world. It'll
Lord,
make me old.
Oh,
I want the Spirit.
In an old-fashioned way.
Oh, hallelujah.
Send down your Spirit upon us, we pray.
Hallelujah.
We need revival.
Oh, we need revival.
We need it today. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way.
Oh, hallelujah.
Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way.
Oh, invite the Lord to do it tonight.
Send down
Don't
your
listen
Spirit
to the same old voices.
Us,
Don't go
pray.
Over the same old doubt over
we
and over. Don't entertain the same fears. Amen. Don't go down that same
Lord,
road. Say, Lord, do a new thing. I'm tired of Babylon. I'm tired of my harp hanging on the willow. I'm tired of not having a song. Lord, do a new thing. Bring new life. Giving water to my soul. Oh, hallelujah.
But I can't live on memories from yesterday. So Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way.
Lord, you sent revival before, but this is a new generation.
Lord,
you sent moves of your Spirit before, but this is a new time. This is a new year. I, the Lord, will do a new thing. Hallelujah.
Revival, and we need it. and wait. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Send down your Spirit upon us, we pray. We need revival and we need it today. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. The God we serve,
oh God,
is still
restore
the
us
same.
To the place.
He hasn't changed at
renew
all.
Renew the promise.
He's looking for a people
oh,
who will answer to His call.
Replenish
to
the
hunger after
the
righteousness and call on His name to give Him the glory, His love
oh,
to proclaim.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord.
Lord,
do a new
to
thing.
A new thing.
Old-fashioned
way. Old-fashioned
way,
Lord.
Send down your Spirit.
Oh, God, move with your Spirit. Save the lost. Deliver the bound. God, set at liberty them that are bruised. Open the prison doors. Save, Lord, the lost spouses, the lost children, Lord. Save them, God. Set at liberty those that are bound. God, give freedom to those, oh, God, that have been ensnared. Lord, things you've always done for your people. But this is a new time.
We need revival and we need it today. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Heard about the good old days where the Spirit was poured out. A mighty move of God with signs and wonders by His power. But I can't live on memories of yesterday. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way.
Oh, hallelujah.
Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way.
Oh, we need revival.
Send down your Spirit,
God, send your Spirit
upon us, we pray.
Oh, hallelujah.
We
hallelujah.
Need revival and we need it today. Way.
Oh.
Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Send down your Spirit upon us, we pray. We need revival and we need it today. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.